involved in church our whole married life. We have never been out of church. I mean, there's been times when it's been very difficult for us to do that, but we've always stayed very involved, very active in the church.
I grew up Catholic and you grew up non-denominational, and we would, you know, attend each other's churches, but we didn't really have a home of our own. And we would just clash. I mean, we could not come to an agreement.
Especially when it came to, well, what are we gonna do when we have kids?
We got in a fight one day about me taking the children to church. And so I was like, well, then come to church. And so he decided to come to church.
Every day, you know, you lift each other up in prayer and you just bathe your marriage in prayer.
Well, good morning once again. We are starting a brand new series today called From This Day Forward. I think we're going to see lights here in just a second. We lost all of our lights this morning, so we're really excited at like 9 o'clock when they went to try to do stuff, and it was like, no, I don't think so. Those lights will come up as soon as we get that figured out. But hey, you know, I'm going to run through a few things with you this morning. This is really interesting statistics that I discovered as we were preparing for this series. Did you know that, oh, you guys are illuminated. All right, there we go. All right. Guys in the booth rocking it this morning. Did you know that January is divorce month? Did you know that? It literally is. Literally, the statistics show that more couples get divorced in January than any other month, like by 2 to 3 times more than any other month of the year. Apparently, people want their Christmas presents before they say, I don't love you anymore. Okay, so, but January is divorce month. It's really kind of a crazy statistic when you think about it. And so let me just throw a couple more at you here this morning. Okay, so there's a divorce every 13 seconds in the United States. Every 13 seconds in the United States, there is a divorce. So during this service, during the hour that we are gathered here together, there are more than 277 couples that will get divorced in the United States. Not in the world. And by the way, the United States is fifth in divorce rate in the world. So we're, you know, there's one thing we're not the best at. So 277 couples over the next hour will get divorced. There are 1 million children this year who will experience the divorce of their parents. Less than 42% of children 17 years of age and younger, less than 42% of those children are in a first marriage and a two-parent home. So that means that 58% of children are children of divorced or they're in a single-parent home. In the first 18 months following a divorce, over 75% of mothers and their children will live in poverty. So what happens when a divorce takes place and the mom has the kids, that over the first year and a half to 2 years, 75% or three-fourths of all women that go through a divorce, in the first 2 years after that divorce, they will live at or below the poverty line with their children. Girls whose fathers leave during elementary school time period are, get this, 8 times more likely to become pregnant in or before high school. 8 times more likely. Boys whose father leaves during elementary school are 5 times more likely to contract a venereal disease. If you're not sure how those two statistics work together, then you probably should be in kid zone. Okay, so so children of divorce are more than twice as likely to experience a serious psychiatric disorder, commit or attempt suicide, or develop an early alcohol addiction. Somewhere between 3 times and 8 times, because there's 3 different things here, so 3 times and 8 times, they are more than likely to be the victim of some sort of violence, whether it's in school, whether it's sexual violence, or whether it's violence from someone that's watching, the violence from a caregiver, or violence in their neighborhood. Children of divorce tend to do significantly worse in academics, the social sphere, career opportunities. They have a lower ceiling for financial success. They are 5 times more likely to get divorced themselves, and they have much more negative and toxic view of the opposite sex than children from a two-parent first marriage home. Now you go, wow, that's horrible for kids, and well, that's it's really a difficult thing. It's not just the kids; it's also mom and dad. Let me give you a couple things from our society as a whole and how our society is impacted by divorce. Roughly every year, both federal, state, and local governments spend over $150 billion to sustain or support single-parent homes. $150 billion. Each year, federal, state, local governments spend over $30 billion just on the process of divorce. So what they have to pay judges, what they have to pay public defenders, and the court system and the whole line, $30 billion just on divorce alone. On top of that, all the statistics that we just read about kids and all the things that happen with them out of a home of divorce, then society loses out on those kids who would be more productive members of society. The system is flooded with more juvenile delinquency, and then later in life, more crime and associated criminal activity and that type of thing because of all those overflow. Parents themselves, so divorced men, are three times more likely to commit suicide. Divorced men are three times, so 300% more likely to commit suicide. Divorced women are two times more likely to become addicted to alcohol or cigarettes and are thereby less healthy because of that. Divorced men, or married men have better outside relationships, a better outlook on life, better career advancement opportunities than their divorced counterparts. Married women have a deeper sense of safety and security. They are three times more likely to characterize their life as happy and have a more hopeful, opportunistic outlook on the future than their divorced counterparts. And if that wasn't enough for you, here is the statistics of all statistics, all right? Broken marriages kill at the same rate as smoking cigarettes. They kill at the same rate as smoking cigarettes. So divorce may very well kill you. In fact, the likelihood is that during the divorce proceedings or in the 2 years after that, you have a 23% more likely chance of dying during that time period after divorce. That is why we say and we believe in the family and in marriage and in counseling and in helping and encouraging people. It is not just, oh, it's a Bible thing. No, it's way bigger than that. The reality is that failure is not an option. It really isn't. When you look at all those things, and here's the thing, by the way, none of those statistics came from Christian researchers or anything like that. In fact, about half of them came from a website for divorce lawyers. I'm not sure if they were like, listen, guys, here's what we can do. But that's where it came from. It's just crazy the damage that divorce has on kids, on parents, and on society in general. We have literally got to start looking at this and going, hey, there's got to be a better route than what we're currently doing. Now, I am not putting aside marriages where there is, you know, adultery or infidelity. I'm not talking about marriages where, you know, you go home and you're beaten or anything. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your regular average marriage where the two of you are together just as human beings, because the reality is 75% of divorces list incompatibility as their first reason. Now, what we want to do over the next 5 weeks is share with you five commitments that will help fail-proof your marriage. And we're going to start this morning with Seek God, which is over here. Guys, can we bring these lights back up here at all? I don't know if we can do that at all. If we can't, that's okay. I don't want to stress you out, Jason. He's been working like a mad dog back there just to get us able to actually see things. But if we can bring those lights up a little bit, that would be awesome. But the first thing is to seek God. And each of these things, each of these commitments have an icon, and you see those two arrows kind of working together to point upwards. And that's the first commitment that we need to make if we want to fail-proof our marriage, is both the husband and the wife have to make the commitment to seek God. And we're going to flesh that out today and what that actually looks like. And then next week, we're going to talk about how to fight fair. And that's two boxing gloves. That's awesome. We're going to have to fight fair, because here's the reality. If you fought as a married spouse this week, you're normal. You're like, I don't know. No, I'm serious. Now, I'm not talking about like you put gloves on, you're like, you got a boxing ring in your basement, you're like, kids, go watch a video. I'm talking about like you had a verbal disagreement, you know, with your spouse this week. You're normal. The reality is if you are not having some type of disagreement, then there may be something going on there that's even good, because you're two people from two different backgrounds with two different personalities, two different ideas, you know, male and female. That is just, there's just going to be some of that stuff. And if you have kids, all bets are off then, because like I've said many times, as much as we love kids, they mess everything up. Okay, so the third commitment is to have fun. Have fun. Do you realize how many people in marriage don't enjoy being around their spouse? And you're like, oh, let me tell you. No, so we don't point or anything like that. But the reality is, have fun. Actually do stuff together. Enjoy being with your spouse. Have fun. And we're going to talk about that. Then in week 4, we're going to talk about staying pure. Staying pure. Like, hey, I thought that was like before marriage. No, that's in marriage too. In fact, it's vitally important in marriage. We're going to talk about that and how that plays out and how we can do that. How can we work through those things? And then finally, never give up. Never give up. Doesn't matter how hard it gets, how difficult it is, do not give up. Do not throw in the towel. Do not say, I'm done. Do not say, I want a divorce, or, hey, do you think we should? Because the minute that you start talking about it, it becomes a possibility. Never give up. Now, this series is something that we've developed actually from a book that Craig and Amy Groeschel wrote. It's entitled From This Day Forward. And if you want to really dive into it even a little bit more deeper, you can jump on Amazon. You can find that book. You can look at it and do that. We also are going to be giving you devotionals that are going to be in the back. And so our ushers are going to be handing those out. They're printed for you. But if we run out today, it's going to be online too, and you can download those. And you can do them with your spouse. And so, ladies, I'm just giving you right now, if you're like, I really want to do this, so here's how you do that. You look at your husband and you say, hey, I love you so much. I want to be able to love you more, so let's do these devotions together throughout the week, okay? And then you can just grab those and do that. And if they walk by the people in the back that are handing them out, you can just kind of give them the look and be like, and then they'll get it and do what they're supposed to, okay? So, because literally, as we're going to say here just a little bit, the husband should be the spiritual leader of the home. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. Sometimes we need a little work and a little encouragement to do that. But the husband should be the spiritual leader of the home. So guys, I'm going to throw it at your feet right now. Take the responsibility and run with it over the next 5 weeks and make your marriage stronger as you do that. And we also like to have fun. I don't know why, but we are a t-shirt loving church. I don't know why, but we love our t-shirts. So we actually created a t-shirt for this series, and it's got the icons on the front, and it says failure is not an option. And by the way, if you're sitting there going, I'm not married, you can still get one, because you can just wear it around. And when, you know, you go on a date and you wear it, and the guy or the girl looks at you and is like, what's that about? This is about what we're going to do in our marriage. That may be the last date that you ever have with them. But it's okay, because it'll scare off the ones you don't want, okay? So here we go. We're talking about seeking God today. And here's the big idea. If this is your first time at Friendship, let's kind of like give this one big thing that everything can kind of hang off of. And if you can remember this one thing, you'll be able to kind of take some of the points and walk with you. And here's what we're going to say this morning. This is so, to help you kind of put your brain around this, sometimes people say when you get married, your spouse should be the most important thing. Have you ever heard that before? Your spouse should be the most important thing. They are your one. They are your, you know, the person that you're searching for, your soulmate, all those different things. We're going to take that. We're going to twist it just a little bit, because it's really not true. So here's the big idea. The big idea is this. God is your one, and your spouse is your two. God is your one, and your spouse is your two. If you want to have a marriage that lasts, you have got to make God the most important relationship in your life. Hands down. You're like, whoa, oh, now listen, I read a book. Okay, unless the front of it said Holy Bible, this is from God. God created you as a woman, God created you as a man, and then God wrote a book and said, here's how you make it all work. Then he created this thing called marriage when he took a man and a woman and he created them and put them in the garden and says, hey, you are with each other. And here's what I love about that. This perfect marriage in a perfect, perfect world, in a perfect setting, there were no in-laws, there were no former girlfriends or anything like that. This perfect marriage, they still had fights. In fact, their first fight led to the sin that consumes our world. And so marriage is not something that the world has created. God created it. And he says, listen, I want you to understand how this works. And here's how it works. You've got to place God first and your spouse second. Because if you place God first, you will treat your spouse the way that God treats your spouse. And God treats your spouse with unconditional love. God treats your spouse as if they are the most important. God has your spouse's best interest at heart with every decision that he makes so that your spouse can be all that he has planned for them to be. So if you love God more than anything else in the world, you will love your spouse more than anyone else in the world. So if you make God your one and your spouse your two, that is the first part of seeking God. So let's look at a couple of things here. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37, 38, and 39. If you've got your Bibles, you can follow along. You can follow on your notes. You can also follow along on the screen behind as we read this. This is Jesus talking. And he has been asked, what is the most important commandment? What's the most important thing that God says matters in life? So Jesus, above everything else, what's the most important thing human beings should do? And here's what he says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. You can pause there. So he says, listen, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your emotions, with all your soul, with all of your being and who you are, with all of your mind and how you think and how you process, and making sure that any decision that you make, you think about God and what God would want first. That is how you're supposed to act. It does not change when you say, I do. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then another different passage in Mark, it says also with all your strength. Now, this is the first and greatest commandment. He says, and wait a second, you asked for one, but I'm going to give you two. It's a twofer. So here's the second one. The second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you're married and you're sitting there with your spouse, maybe you're holding her hand or got your arm around her or you've got your hand on his knee or something like that. Here's what I want you to do, okay? I want you to look at him, look in their eyes. And I'm going to tell you, seriously, now, right now, go ahead. Look, some of you, I still see your eyes, so don't look at me. Because if you say this to me, I'm going to be all weirded out, okay? So I want you to look at him and I want you to say, will you be my neighbor? Right, just tell him, isn't that sweet? Yeah, will you be my neighbor? Now, listen, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know the most important neighbor you got? Your spouse. The most important relationship in humanity that you should have is your spouse. And Jesus says, listen, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, all your strength. And then when it comes to humanity, love your spouse like you love yourself. Do what you would do for yourself for them. In fact, if you really stop and think about it, do more for them than you would even be willing to do for yourself. Because if we pursue God as our one and our spouse as our two, our marriage will grow stronger and more substantial. So this morning, I'm not going to ask you to raise hands. We don't want to be embarrassing. But if you're not married this morning, okay, whether you're single, you've never been married, or you've gone through a divorce, or you're sitting here trying to figure out what your next step is, there's a commitment that you can make as a single person. And here is the commitment that you need to make. If you're like, hey, I'm on the market, I'm on Match.com, I'm on, Christian Mingle or Single or whatever it is, and, you know, I've got a garden, so I'm on Farmers Only, I mean, it's great, I'm doing this whole thing. So here is, if you want to get ready to affair-proof, to fail-proof your marriage before your marriage even starts or before you even know the person that you're going to marry, here's the first thing that you need to do. Here is your commitment. And it's really simple. It's, I will seek the one while preparing for my two. I will seek the one, God. I will seek this relationship, this vertical relationship with God while preparing for my future relationship with my two. And here's how that looks, by the way. If you're a guy and you're going, man, I'm single, I really want to get married at some point in time, you need to have the right relationship with God. And when you have the right relationship with God and you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you're trying to be all that God has called you to be, do you know that that actually makes you more attractive to the opposite sex? Believe it or not. Do you know that the Bible actually says, take a shower. It says take a bath, really. It's what it says. Clean yourself, okay? That's a good thing if you want a good, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not in the Bible. But this relationship with God and your heart is right, and so your heart isn't hard. Your heart is tender and you're compassionate, but you're still, because the Bible wants you to be a man. It doesn't want you to be a wuss kind of walking around and be like, no. And so you become all that God has called you to be, and that becomes an attractive thing. And here's what's crazy. When you begin to have that right relationship with God, and then you say, you know, I want to be the right type of husband. I want to be the right type of father. And you begin to build into your life the characteristics of men that you would emulate as husbands and fathers, that makes you even more attractive. Because believe me, I've got two single daughters who've got a whole bunch of single friends, and I see their stuff, and we talk about stuff, they're like, seriously, there are no guys that are worth marrying. And they're on a Christian campus with 35,000 18 to 25-year-olds. Okay? Guys, I'm serious. If you want that, you need to begin your relationship with Christ first. Now, ladies, I'm going to say the same thing to you, because if you want a right relationship with a man that loves God, then you need to first have your relationship with God figured out. Because here's the reality. Way too many of you settle for a guy instead of the guy. And then guess what? You end up finding another guy. So the reality is that between 65 and 75% of all divorces are started by the wife, depending upon the year, between 65 and 75%. So if you start with getting your one relationship right, that creates an incredible filter so that you can see other people the way that God sees them. And you can make better decisions. And you can be the type of woman that a man that has made God his one would want a relationship with. Now, if you're married, there's a little bit different commitment. If you're married, it changes a little bit, and it goes like this. I will always seek the one with my two. I will always seek the one with my two. Now, one of the reasons, and I want to be real clear here, one of the reasons that we challenge people to make sure that when they step into this arena of marriage, that they're both on the same spiritual path, is because it's really difficult if you're a husband married to somebody, a wife that doesn't know Jesus Christ, or you're a wife married to a husband who doesn't know Jesus Christ. It's really difficult to seek God together when one of you doesn't want to seek God at all. And it creates a lot of tension and a lot of difficulty and a lot of hardship in marriage. And so that's why we say, and guys, if we can keep that up there, that's why we say, I will always seek the one with my spouse. The moment that you say, I do, that should be the last time I is a part of your conversation. Because it's no longer I, it's we. And I'll reiterate this again. Guys, if you are here and you are married and you are a husband, it is your responsibility to lead your home in all areas, including your spiritual walk. Including it. And that is not an easy thing. I'm going to tell you, that is not an easy thing. It is difficult. It is hard. Those of you that are sitting here, maybe some of you ladies are sitting here like, I'm married, my husband does not know God, doesn't want anything to do with God. That does not mean that you cannot still ingratiate and include God in your marriage. You may have to get a little more creative, but here's what you shouldn't do. I'm just going to love on you for a minute here, okay? Here's what you shouldn't do. Don't nag him to come to church. Instead, you become so amazing as a woman of God that your husband goes, I don't know what's different with you, but I want to find out. In fact, it says so much in the book of 1st and 2nd Peter that it says, ladies, if you're married to a man that doesn't know God, live your life so much in a way that they are drawn to God by how you behave yourselves. And so really, that's that relationship. But let's say you're married to a husband, you're married to a wife, you both know God. You both have accepted Jesus Christ. Then you should not be on a solo mission. The two of you should be working together. You should be having conversations about what you're learning about God, what God's challenging you, and seeking to encourage and further each other's relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the stronger your relationship with Christ, the stronger your relationship with your spouse. Now, I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to back this up statistically, okay? So I'm not like just pulling this out of nowhere. I'm going to share with you the number one single most important activity that will essentially divorce-proof your marriage. Now, if somebody says that, you're like, whoa, hang on a second. There is something we can do that would divorce-proof our marriage, essentially? Yes, there is. And you're like, wonder what this is, all right? Now, if you're sitting next to your spouse and they have a blank there and they don't fill it out, just give them a little like this and make sure they fill that out, okay? Because this is literally, and I'm going to share with you the statistics that back this up. Are you ready for it? It's like, I don't know, maybe. Are you ready for it? Here we go. Pray together every day. Pray together every day. Now, I know some of you are like, pray, I pray like when I'm driving about the people in front of me, and I pray about my boss. I mean, they might be prayers that, you know, his ceiling would fall in, but I pray. That's, you know, it's such a personal thing. Whoa. When you said I do, you're no longer I, you're we. So if it's a personal thing, then the two of you should be doing it together. Because if you can share your innermost desires, hopes, and dreams with this person, you better be sharing your relationship with Christ with this person. Pray with each other every day. You're like, okay, what are the stats that back this up? Here we go. Family Life Research Center did a study of over 10 years. Now, you ready for this? Less than 8% of Christian couples regularly pray together. Less than 8% of Christian couples pray together regularly. Of those couples that do pray together, less than 1% get a divorce. Process that for a moment. All Christian couples across the United States of America, less than 8% regularly pray together. But of those that regularly pray together, less than 1% get a divorce. That's astounding. Now, here's what I want to be really clear, because some of you may be sitting there going, we don't pray together, might as well get divorced, it's January. It's not a reverse indicator, okay? But it is an indicator of the ability to fail-proof your marriage. Now, I'll just share with you, literally, Tracy and I, this last year, have been married for 25 years. And thank you. It's really for her. And we dated for 3 years before that, so we've been together for 28 years. And it was about 18 months ago, 2 years ago, that we actually regularly started praying together. We'd pray together. We'd pray at dinner time. We'd pray if something's going on and that type of thing, right? But it wasn't like a routine. It wasn't something that we said, okay, we're going to do this, and we're going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, that's not going to work in our household. But those of you that want to get up that early, go for it. Praise God for you. But I had for really the beginning of our marriage, because she goes to bed at like 7:30, kind of. Okay, she's right there. So I would always tuck her in at night. I know that kind of sounds like, oh, how corny. All the guys are like, how corny. All the women are like, oh. Okay, so, I was come in and I'd get in the bed and we'd talk about the day and I'd kiss her and that would be it. And so we got processing this. I said, you know what, this is the perfect time. Typically, the girls don't come downstairs, other than the dogs. Of course, they're on the bed and they're looking at our faces and all that stuff. But this is a perfect time just to pray. And so it's like, hey, what's on your mind? What can we pray for? And we pray. It literally takes maybe 5 minutes. I can tell you, it is the coolest 5 minutes of my day. Because I get to hear what's on her heart. She gets to hear what's on my heart. We pray about it. And you know what's amazing? Is we see answered prayer together. That is a cool thing. And so I'll just say, I'm not like going, we got it all figured out for the last 28 years. We've been praying together every night. No, for the last 18 months to 2 years, we've been doing it. And it's been amazing. And so I would challenge you, figure out a time that works. If you're both like, butt crack of dawn people, you go right ahead. That's fantastic. I am not. Trace, I know some of you are like posting like workout pictures at 4:30. I'm like, I've gone to bed at 4:30 before, but that was probably it. So, but if you are willing as a couple to make the commitment every day to pray with each other, it'll transform your relationship with the one and with your two. Transforms it. And know it's really hard to stay ticked off with someone and pray with them that day. Prayer kind of goes like this: Dear God, give us a good night's sleep and help her. Right? God, they need it. No, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so it forces you to have that conversation. It forces you to talk through it. It forces you to change and stop the emotional roller coaster that you've got going on inside your brain that nobody else knows about until you lose it. There's so many things that happen if you are willing to make it a commitment to pray with each other every day. A couple of verses to wrap this up. Usually around October, November, Christians start posting this verse everywhere as we come to the elections. This is not an election verse. This is not a political verse. This is something that God spoke to the nation of Israel when they were rejecting him whole scale. And this is what he says. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. we're going to shift this into a marriage verse. If my children who are called by my name will humble themselves before their spouse, and they will pray, and together they will seek my face and turn from their anger towards one another, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their marriage. The reality is if you want to fail-proof your marriage, the first commitment is to seek God. And the most important part of that commitment as a couple is to seek God together and to pray every day with your spouse. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. For those of you that are like, it's bigger than that! There's more. I mean, you don't understand. You understand what he's done. You don't understand what she's done. Do you know what she said to me this morning when I left my underwear on the floor? Do you know what he said to me when he was wiping off the hairspray off the mirror? It's bigger than that. It's true. But here's what Jesus says. And he kind of knows a thing or two. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then what? All these things. All these other things that we think are the most important. All the arguments, all the little fires that pop up. All the little minor explosions that take place. All these other things. Seek him first. If you will seek God, it's the first commitment to fail-proofing your marriage. And it starts with praying every day with your spouse. Father, we thank you so much. We pray for every single marriage that's here today, that will watch or listen online, that maybe isn't here, but they're traveling or whatnot, and they're going to sit at home, and they're going to watch this together. We pray for the marriages that will be leaving this place this morning and grabbing the devotional and sitting down throughout this week, Monday through Friday, and just talking with their spouse and having that connection and that conversation about how they are going to seek God together. God, I pray for the individuals here who are single, and I pray that they would make the highest priority of their heart to seek the one, and that being you. That they wouldn't worry about right now the two. They would prepare for that. They would get ready for that by seeking you. That, God, they wouldn't pursue the two before they've pursued the one. And that they would make that relationship with you right and ready to be able to receive the two that you are preparing for them. God, I pray that marriages all over this place would change. God, we believe that every marriage, no matter how difficult it is just one or two changes away from becoming a great marriage. And I pray that maybe today would be the day that some of these marriages here today that are struggling, they're having difficulty, they're having conflict and turmoil, that God, today they would make that change to pray together every day, to seek each other and seek you above all. And God, that would be the change that would make their marriage a great marriage. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and respond.